You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer.
Good evening, Mike. How's it going?
It's going pretty well, Jake. How are you doing this eve of a snowstorm evening?
I know, getting ready to be snowed in. It may be a work from home day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. We talked about that, about being productive, working from home as a developer.
It's nice. It's nice to be able to kind of free yourself up of distractions and get cozy at home with a cup of tea or coffee, or if it's like 3 o'clock.
I mean, I like working in my jammies, yeah. So... the code seems to flow a little bit more.
I'm looking forward to it. It's nice. We haven't had much snow this winter, so it'll be a nice change of pace.
Yeah, well, let's hope we get some. So welcome to the Development Up Podcast. We want to thank you for listening to episode number 14. Exciting stuff, 14.
Not that exciting of a number, but it's going to be a good episode. I can feel it already.
Yeah, hopefully, just like all our previous 13 episodes, this one is a piece of gold. So welcome to any new listeners who are joining us. We hope you're in for a good treat. And for returning listeners, welcome. Thanks for coming back. And we're excited to talk about today's topic, Jake.
Interviews.
Ooh.
Interviews. And so Mike did a fantastic job preparing some of these notes. We're really excited to talk about a lot of aspects of interviews. And I'd have to say that one thing that just right off the bat I thought was awesome, Mike, was when you said, as developers, we deal with more interviews than we realize. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I'm not applying for jobs right now. So I'm not sure what he means by this. But do you want to kind of explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. So if you stop for a second and you think about interviews, most people will be like, I'm looking for a job. I need to go talk to people for 6 hours. They ask me a bunch of questions. That's an interview. But as a developer, especially one who deals maybe with client projects or with clients or with teams, there are way many interviews that you deal with every day that you don't realize. So some of the situations I'm considering an interview is when you're meeting a new client for the first time for a new project. When you are interviewing a vendor or partner, or you're going to collaborate with another team or another company, that's an interview to introduce each other. When you're networking, that's even an interview to represent yourself and your community. And then when you are starting on a new project team, whether it's a new team in general or just people in your company who you haven't worked with before, that's going to be an interview process, that those first couple of meetings. And so taking the things, the benefits and the skill sets that you bring to an interview when you're finding a job can help you, in my opinion, as a developer in these other situations as well.
Right. I think you said it best when you're explaining it to me as an interview is anytime you're representing the best of yourself. And whether that be when you're out for a new job or, like you said, at a networking meeting, or even meeting a new coworker, you're representing your best self, putting your best foot forward and showing people the amazing person that you are.
And in all those situations, just like when you're going for that job, you want to kill it and you want to get it. So these situations are where you want to represent yourself the best. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how you can take some of those things that apply to a traditional interview and use it in these other situations.
Right. As well as how to deal with some of the things you would find at a common job interview, like the right ways to engage with the interviewee, dealing with stress or nervousness, things like that. So
I was going to say, I don't think those things are exclusive to a traditional interview. Like, that's where it's easiest to pick those little things out, but each one of these conversations, each one of these situations has all the same phases, I would say, as that traditional interview.
Yeah, you're right. The more I think about it, I see what you mean. It's a life cycle thing. It starts pre-introduction. There's the introduction, there's the discussion, the communication, the questions, and then there's the follow-up. There's a life cycle to it all.
Yeah.
So does it make sense to kind of go in that life cycle, like start?
Yeah, let's just go through the life cycle. So we can break down generally all these situations that are considered interviewee-like into three basic phases.
There's interviewee.
Interviewee. Well, but interviewee is the person who's being interviewed, even though I was saying it with a Y, and I know you can hear it with a Y, not double E. But so interview-like, I mean, like you're just breaking it down, Jake, with the life cycle, there's three basic phases. There's the before the interview, and what you need to do for that to represent the best of yourself. There's during the interview, which is probably the most important part. And then there's what to do after the interview, because it doesn't just stop once you finish the interview. There's stuff to do afterwards. So I think if we focus on these three different areas and talk about how you can represent the best of yourself as a developer, our listeners will be able to go forth and improve their careers.
I think so too.
Always the goal. So should we start with before an interview? There's this phase of what you need to do to get prepared, both physically, mentally, developmentally, for an interview
interviewally.
I'm trying to, I'm going to keep making up words because I'm jealous from the last episode when you came up with soccer. So
best acronym ever. Yeah. All right. So Mike, let me ask you this. You have an interview tomorrow with XYZ. I'm not going to tell you the purpose of this interview, but you have an interview tomorrow. What is the first thing that you do to prepare for it?
All right. Besides freak out. So the first thing I do is I'm going to start doing research. I think research is the number one thing you need to do. You need to be prepared for going into that interview, regardless who you're talking to, so that you have the right knowledge to bring to the table. Now, in terms of research, things that I think of is, if it's a company, if it's a client, if it's a new coworker, it might be a little creepy, but doing some background on them. Take a look at their website, maybe look at their LinkedIn, find out information about the people you're going to be speaking with and what their goals and ambitions are and what drives them. Because you want to make sure, one, that what drives you aligns with that during the interview, because that's what it's going to be about. And just so that you're prepared, so you have an understanding of maybe what sort of questions you want to ask and whatnot. And that's jumping a little bit to the next part. But research is the number one thing I do first.
Research, yeah. I think that's very important. And being prepared to share things about you that are relevant to the research that you do as well. So maybe that looks like a portfolio for someone you're interviewing with, or maybe you're meeting with a client for the first time and you want to win the project. So you know they're looking for a certain kind of solution, then maybe you, knowing that, show them solutions from your company in the past that can also solve their problems as well.
Those may also be known as case studies in that scenario.
Yes, right?
Yeah, so those are, case studies are the portfolio for your company. So when you're going into meeting a new client, you want to have relevant ones prepared. That's great advice, Jake, for our listeners.
And you mentioned questions. So questions, I think, are really important.
Yeah. Coming out of an interview, which we'll get into, you want to make sure you have all the information you need. And the only way you're going to do that is by asking questions. Just like the only way the person who is interviewing you is going to learn about you by asking you questions. So you, with your research, with prepping your portfolio or your examples, start thinking about what do you want to know? What is important for you to make the beginning of this relationship work? So come up with questions and things you want to know. And these could be, it depends on the situation, but if it's meeting a new coworker or new team members, asking them how do they like to work? Oh, you know, what they've done in the past. If it's a new client, asking them what their goals with the project, like what do they want to get out of it? If it's with a traditional interview, asking what the company is about, what drives them, what can you be expected to do on a day-to-day? Like think of the questions that give you the information you need to make sure that coming out of this, it's the best fit for both sides.
And I think it's always important to find questions, even if you don't think you have them. So I would encourage you, particularly for a traditional job interview, before you go into that interview, sit down for an hour and write down every question that comes to mind and then sort them in a way that can flow into a logical conversation. It always baffles me in an interview when I ask someone if they have any questions for me and they say no. And I'm thinking in my head, you're potentially going to be working here for the foreseeable future. You don't have any questions about that. And so, yeah, I think questions are really important. Think about the pain points of where you currently are. You could even uncover value by asking a potential partner questions about their process and figuring out, okay, well, what has worked for you in the past best? Well, what hasn't? Then based on that, you can provide some other sort of solution.
Yeah, it can, having your own questions helps drive the interview to be more of a conversation than just being grilled with questions. And knowing how you can interact and have a conversation with the people who are part of the interview is a big part to see how well you fit together. And I think that's a big important thing as a developer is to learn how well you work with others and how you're potentially going to work with those people.
And it shows you care.
And it shows you care. Caring is always important. And with that, having questions is going to help show respect and that you care, that you have knowledge. What is also going to show that is promptness. So this is a little more action-oriented for before an interview, but making sure you have everything out of the way so you will be there on time, whether it's a traditional interview for a job, a call with a client, a meeting with a client, a kickoff meeting with a new team, making sure you're not running late, because being on time, in my mind, shows that you have respect for those people and their time.
Yeah, you always want to value someone else's time, particularly if you're meeting them for the first time. You want to get off on the right foot, make a really good first impression, and there's no worse way to do that than not showing up on time or showing up way too early.
Yeah, it's a hard balance. I'm one of those people who I tend to show up early. I'm trying to get better at it because I get so nervous about showing up late. So yeah, having that time management skills to do that.
Another thing that I think a lot of people face, Mike, before an interview is dealing with nerves.
They are nervous situations and experience. And to some degree, they're supposed to be to really put you on your toes. But yeah, nerves are something you have to deal with.
Would you go as far as to say that, I mean, I don't want to say that it's not valid to be nervous, because it's totally valid to be nervous. But I often think that being nervous can sometimes just be manifested in your head. There's really no reason for you to be nervous and you're psyching yourself up.
Yeah, it's all about how you are psyching yourself up in your mind. You're making this to be a really big deal. And to some degree, it can be if it's for a new job or if it's a potential client. If it's for a new job or a potential client, it can be a nervous situation. But the more you think about that and think about that and think about that, the more it's going to build up in your head and you're going to end up getting in your own way. So the nerves are definitely valid. I mean, it's a natural response for us. It built, you know, we get our adrenaline going and we get excited, but you need to relax a little. In these situations, think about somehow you've had a pre-conversation to get to this phase, whether it's for a job interview or an interview with a client for a potential project. Something about you has gotten you here and they've wanted to continue this conversation. So take pride in that and start from that place instead of the nervous place about what could go wrong.
I think that's great advice. One other piece of advice I'd offer is to keep in mind that not all interviews are one-sided. I know a lot of people have different interviewing styles. I know someone who treats job interviews like first dates, and that's something that they're not particularly nervous about. I don't know if I'd want to go into it with that mentality, but if it works for them, that's awesome.
Saying you're not nervous to be on a first date, that I could never imagine that. That's yeah. Scary.
But yeah, so interviews are not always one-sided. And one way you could potentially look at this is you're not going to be interviewed. You're going to interview that person. Maybe
so flip it around.
Flip it around. And it's a two-sided thing, so you don't want to be overly high and mighty about it, but if it helps build your confidence up a little bit, instead of thinking about it like, I am here because I want this job, or I am here because of this outcome, I'm interviewing this to see if this is right for me, to see if this job is right for me, or because this project is right for me, or this client's right for me.
And think about it that way, because it's true, because it's about all these lead to building up a relationship and seeing if it's going to be a healthy relationship or not. And your views on that and your input to that is just as valid as the person who ultimately will be asking you questions, or, you know, whose good graces you're trying to win with a box of chocolates on a first date. But Jake, that reminded me of another way to flip it in your head about you are the interviewer. And this goes along with dealing with your nerves. One of the reasons you get nervous is probably because you're freaking about what they're going to ask you. So if you think in your mind as yourself, as the interviewer, think about what questions are you nervous about them asking and asking those to yourself beforehand. There's a mantra I've used that I've learned for giving presentations at conferences. Knowing there's a Q&A afterwards, it's to be prepared for that. Think of the 10 stupidest, hardest questions that the audience is going to ask you and have answers prepared for that, or how you would answer those. And I think it's the same case for one, for just being prepped for an interview and being mentally prepped, is think about what's the hardest questions I'm going to get asked and how would I answer those.
I think you can also help guide the conversation based on the discussion that you're having and ways that you could strategically talk about challenges that you've had that incite questions from the person interviewing you. So if you're talking about your work experience and you say, oh, we came across this challenge, blah, 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 and they're like, oh, well, how did you go about solving it? That can be a tough question to ask, but you were prepared for it because you knew they were going to ask it. So not to say that you're able to see into the future and know every single question they're going to ask you, but a lot of questions they will ask you are probably going to be the result of the conversation that you're already having.
Yeah. And so then you're prepping yourself for it. So this kind of leads into, during the interview, what happens and what goes on. Again, regardless if this is for a job interview, talking with a new client, coworkers, or a new project team.
Can I say one more thing before
yes,
the interview?
Yes, yes.
Just brush your teeth.
Yes, hygiene is important.
Deodorant.
Such a stereotype for developers to have poor hygiene.
We do smell.
Sometimes. We get so embedded into the code that we want to write that, you know, things melt away. So, yes. All right. So, hygiene. I think that could go with promptness.
Yeah. Okay.
Good point, Jake.
All right. So, during the interview.
Let's talk about the way this interviews are going to go. It's a game of trading questions and answers. Now, there's a book I really enjoy by an author I like, Michael Lopp, and we've mentioned some of his books in the past. He has a book called Being Geek, where he breaks down pretty much all the types of questions you're going to experience in an interview into three different types. And I thought it'd be interesting for us to talk about it, Jake.
Yeah, let's do it. So what's the first one?
The first one are specific questions. These are kind of the softball, let's get things going, you can give an exact answer type questions.
So like small talk?
Can be small talk a little bit. So yeah, like, hey, what do you think of how's the weather going up there, if it's on a phone call? Or how was your drive in? Did you find us okay? Like, those are yes or no questions, right?
Where are you commuting from?
Where are you commuting from? Stuff like that. The softball questions that are specific. There's no ambiguity to what the answer might be. And these can even be development questions. It could be, have you ever used a computer before?
No. What are you doing here? And I think these questions are important, even though, like you said, Mike, they're unambiguous. They also give you an opportunity to represent your fun side, even though some of the questions are straightforward, like you're talking about the weather or whatever, but just to show that you can have easygoing conversation. This is a great opportunity to kind of show the person who you're meeting with that you're a fun person, and also is a good opportunity for you to kind of open yourself up and feel comfortable with that person.
Yeah, that's the purpose they serve, is to help relax everybody and open up the communication for when you start to get into the nitty-gritty things. Mm-hmm. Which, speaking of, the second type of question you're probably going to deal with in an interview scenario, as a developer, probably problem-solving questions. Asking you, there are seven balls and you have a measurement, you have to find out which one is the lightest one, right? Those crazy problem-solving, how would you do this questions.
So this is where the dreaded code tests would happen?
Yeah, this is where the code tests would happen. Here's a Sharpie and a whiteboard. Not a Sharpie.
Don't do that.
Here's a Expo marker and a whiteboard. Show me how you would sort an array or write some pseudocode, right? These are the types of questions you're going to get that are going to help show, one, your creativeness and your problem-solving skills, which as a developer is important. Now, you may not get these questions on, say, a first date or a team kickoff. Not as exactly, but people are going to start asking your opinion and how you might go about accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then finally, the third, Mike, open-ended?
Open-ended. These are definitely the hardest to answer, and they are going to seem like the easiest, that they should be the easiest. But so the problem-solving questions are like, show me a specific thing. The open-ended are more of the touchy-feely, like, what do you think of this coding standard? What sort of processes do you think make up the best release process or for the best release schedule? Like, these are things that could have, it's hard to know what the right answer would be. And they're not meant to, in my opinion, when I've interviewed people, it's not meant to trip you up. It's just to see how you handle with ambiguities, which are going to happen. So those are the three types of questions you're going to deal with in any of these interview situations. And now that we know that, we can get into how you might answer any one of these and what skills you need to provide some sort of answer.
Cool, I like it. So just real quick to recap, we talked about three different types of questions. There were specific ones. Those are the unambiguous, easy to answer ones. You can often start with small talk. Problem solving, which are the tough ones, asking you to solve specific problems, draw from solutions that you have come up with in the past, and then finally open-ended questions. And these are the ones that are more ambiguous. Again, not meant to trip you up, but to see the way you think, and can often start with, what do you think about this, or how would you go about that?
Correct. So no matter what question is being asked to you, the most important thing, no matter what type of question is asked of you, the number one thing to do is not answer until you have an answer.
Oftentimes, I've made this mistake where I will just begin to talk because I felt like that's my cue and I need to begin answering this question. And then the next thing you know, I'm Michael Scott from The Office, just talking around in a circle, making no sense. So having a well-informed answer is important, but it's important to wait until you have that answer. And so before you open your mouth to talk, take a deep breath and make sure that you have kind of formed a conclusion in your head as to what that answer is going to be. And then slowly, take your time. You don't need to talk too fast and stumble over your words. You can begin to unpack that question and answer it.
So to put it in development terms, think about when you are tasked with writing a new piece of functionality. More likely than not, you're not just going to start just writing code. You're going to take some amount of time to stop and think about how you're going to solution it and what you're going to do, what your approach is going to be. And this is no different. It's just instead of writing code, you're saying words. So you're thinking about what your approach is and what's the right approach for what you're asked to do. So I like to put it in that terms of development.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of doing it. It's preemptive planning and then execution.
Yeah. So just like as a developer, when you're asked to write functionality or you're asked an interview question, make sure you have an understanding of what is being asked of you.
Yeah, it's okay to respond to a question with another question and make sure you understand it before you answer the initial question in the first place.
And that can be important because it shows that you're paying attention and you want to give the most relevant answer, that you are someone who makes sure you understand what is you're being tasked with and you're not just going to make assumptions.
And also with giving a relevant answer, you want to be honest with your answer too. You don't want to lie your way through the answer. You don't want to fake it. That can lead to all sorts of bad things.
And we've talked about this in previous episodes about answering questions honestly by saying either yes, no, or I don't know. And it's very important during an interview process to be confident in saying, you know what, I don't know this answer, but I'd love to have the chance to solve it. Mm-hmm. Or like to work with you to figure it out.
Yeah. Like, and sometimes you may not have the direct answer, but there is another related story or situation that you've been in that you could draw from. So you could say, I haven't done that, so I'm not exactly sure what the answer to that would look like, but I have done this. Perhaps they're somewhat related. And then it shows the interviewee that you can be honest and that you're willing to learn.
And finally, with your answer, it's just saying what you need to say and not providing filler. If you can give a concise answer, give a concise answer. Don't feel like you always have to go into a large tangent about your answer, because people may just be looking for an answer to move on to the next question. I mean, take that time to make sure you have the answer, you understand the question, but that you are just saying what you have to say.
And I think you can avoid saying more than you need to if you follow our first tip, which was to wait until you have an answer. When you just start talking, especially if you're speaking fast, it's really easy to just start rambling. And the more you ramble, the more you don't even know where you started, so you don't know where to end either.
Yep.
So saying only what you need to, and that doesn't mean you need to answer it in as few words as possible, but answer the question and no more.
Yeah. So, and if the interviewer or the person asked the question wants to know more, they'll ask a follow-up question. And just one last thing to wrap up answering questions, Jake. We're talking about taking a pause and not just answering right away. Now, it could be scary not to answer right away and to have that silence for a couple seconds. But Michael Lopp, in his book, Being Geek, talks about this and how to handle this situation, because it reveals a couple of things to yourself. If it's been like 10 seconds and you still don't have an answer or you can't think of a good answer, one, that's telling you either you didn't correctly understand the question, or you really don't know how to answer that. And you need to be able to tell that to the interviewer and say, sorry, I don't really follow the question. Can we ask it a different way? So taking that time, knowing that there's going to be a pause and that's okay. And if it starts to feel like it's a little too long, thinking, do I really understand what's being asked?
Right. Or do I understand what's being asked and just not know the answer?
Yeah.
And if you're weirded out by the awkward pause, I think it's also okay to just say, let me think about that for a second. And then you can kind of look down at the desk and, you know, let your brain do its thing.
All right. So you've been asked questions. You've been asked questions, right. And like we've said, an interview is not just being asked questions, but it's also
asking questions.
Yeah.
Right. So we underscored this earlier, but asking questions is really important. If someone asks you if you have any questions for them, don't just think, all right, I guess I'm done with my part of the interview. Let's get out of here as soon as possible. Come prepared with questions.
And if you happen to get into a situation where you're not prepared with questions and you're asked, do you have any questions for me or for this? Don't say no. I guarantee you, you could stop and think for a second. There's still something you want more clarity on. Either it could be something that has already been touched on. Think of it from different terms and something you want to know more about.
I would like to give a tip. If you are in a scenario where you are asked if you have any questions and you really can't think of anything, you can say, well, you are a company who has been doing this for X years. That one shows that you know something about them. Two, what are the biggest struggles or challenges that you're going through right now? And the great thing about that is it's going to give you insight into, you're going to get an interesting answer. You're going to get insight into what they're going through now and what they're struggling with now. And that potentially opens up a door for you to offer some sort of suggestion or maybe just say something that, you know, relates and shows that you understand what they're going through. And that can also help reinforce what kind of asset you might be to them.
And what you can also do is almost reiterate what was asked to you or any other answers you were given. You could say, so previously you told me X, Y, and Z, and what I took that to mean is A, B, C. Is that accurate? And that's asking them a question. It allows the interviewer to take your understanding of a situation and apply it back in their terms. And that puts you both on the same page to know how each one thinks about something differently.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, so during the interview, you're going to be asked a bunch of questions, either a specific, a problem-solving type question or an open-ended question. You're going to take the moment to pause, collect your thoughts, answer that question to the best of your ability, or ask for follow-ups or saying, I don't know. Then you're going to ask your questions, and it may not be that linear, but you're going to ask your questions, follow up with what you have to say. Then what happens, Jake, after the interview?
So after the interview is over, a couple things. One, I think you should follow up same day, or for whatever reason it was meeting at night, you can follow up the next day and say, hey, it was really great meeting with you. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me. If there is some sort of actionable follow-up after that, whether it be a actual job interview or a meeting with a client, then I think it's helpful to follow up and say, hey, you know, again, once again, it was a great meeting with you back a couple weeks ago. I was just wondering what the status of this is and, you know, just kind of keep the conversation going so that things don't fall by the wayside.
And what is very important for you to remember after an interview never really ends. An interview is just the beginning to a new relationship, whether that is at a new job as a developer, whether that is with a new endeavor with a client, whether that is working with a new team or a new vendor. The interview is just the first part, and it should never be thought of as checked off the box, that's over, it's a separate thing. It's just the beginning. And so that's why it's important that you represent yourself the best you can, because that's going to be your starting place for your experiences with those people. Now, maybe for a job interview, you don't get the job. Still a relationship with that company, with the people you met, because if it's a job interview, you're likely in the same network. And so you want to make sure you have that positive experience. So still do the follow-up, still give the thank yous. But just remember, it's just the beginning of new endeavors. It's not something that truly ends.
Yeah. Business, I think, is often looked at so organically, but it's really such a word of mouth thing. I know, especially in our industry of development, you meet someone and maybe they work for this company and you don't work with that company, but then they end up moving on to another company and they think of you when the need for a solution that you can provide arises. One cool thing that I've always remembered, my very first job, my boss showed me this diagram that he upkept, and it started with his company that he had started in the middle, and it had all these little lines off of it, and each line represented a connection, whether it was a client or someone that he had met at a networking event, or just a friend, someone he knew, maybe a partner or a vendor. And as the years went on, this big spider web grew, and it was crazy to see how many of these lines intersected and connected to multiple other nodes. And it just goes to show that it really is a small world, and the relationships that you make now, even though they may not materialize at the time or at the current time, they may materialize in years to come. So very good point, Mike. The interview never really ends.
So, all right, Jake, let's get into some key takeaways of an interview, or interviews as a developer,
yeah,
however you want to say it. The first key takeaway is, as a developer, you're going to be in many different interview situations than you realize, not just when you're finding a job, but when you're interacting with a client, with a new team, with vendors or partners or new coworkers. Those are all situations where the skill sets for interviews play a part.
Right. And Mike, again, you said it best, which I just love, an interview is really when you're representing the best of yourself. So whenever that happens, that's an interview. You know, we talked about the life cycle of an interview, the before, during, and after. And before, preparedness being the key. Knowing yourself and your interviewer, doing your research up front, and coming prepared and on time, prepared to talk.
And then during the interview, key takeaway is to be honest, be polite, and build trust and respect. I mean, because they add to your skills and experience. And the way you do that is by taking the time to answer the questions, taking a pause, making sure you gather your thoughts, and then ask your own questions.
And then after the interview, you know, saying thank you, obviously, being grateful for someone's time and showing that, following up if it's actionable, and then also keeping in mind that the interview never really ends. So once again, represent your best self, and you never know. In years to come, you may be working with someone you never would have imagined.
So now, listeners, we've sort of asked you our interview style questions and our thoughts on interviews. Let's keep this conversation going. We would like to know your thoughts on, as a developer, how to apply yourself, how to represent the best of yourself in interview situations. Let us know how you represent the best of yourself on Twitter. Send us a message at DevUpPodcast and tell us about it, or an email at hello@developingup.com.
I'd be curious if this conversation kind of, you know, struck any chords or brought back any memories of different relationships that had developed over the years because of an interview or a meeting that you had, or if you have any, you know, crazy interview stories, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah, I'm always game for crazy interview stories.
I guess, you know, I don't mean like...
How about, what's some of the craziest interview questions you've been given? Either it's during a job interview, asked by a client or a team, like what's something crazy you've been asked that you had that kind of caught you off guard and you weren't really prepared for that you could have been?
Yeah, I'd love to know those.
Those could be tweets or emails, I guess.
Have you ever seen any of the questions that Google used to ask their interviews?
Yeah. They don't do those anymore, though.
Probably because they're insane.
Google's insane.
Google's insane, yeah. They write on whiteboards with Sharpies.
So be sure to rate us on Google Play or leave us a review.
Insanely good, I mean, you know. Yes, Mike, so on that note, if you are enjoying this show, we would really appreciate a positive rating on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you choose to listen to the Developing Up podcast. And if you know anyone who could benefit from it, and if you're a developer, I'm sure you do, we would really be grateful if you shared it. Spread the love. If you want to reach out to us on Twitter, we're @DevUpPodcast. You could also email us at hello@developingup.com. And this is episode 14, which means if you go to developingup.com/14, you could join in the conversation there.
You'll find all the show notes, as well as one last thing, because we always do it like a double wrap up, Jake. No. But if you haven't listened to episode 13 yet, take a listen and you will learn that if you have a topic that you'd like to hear us talk about and we end up using it, we will send you an exclusive DevUp podcast sticker. Just a shout out back to Tom from episode 13. So yeah, if you like stickers, we like topics, let's build a relationship. All right, until next episode.
All right, take care, everybody.
Take care.